All right, ladies, I hope you all enjoyed your meal. We want to start out, of course, by thanking Chick-fil-A for preparing this and for serving it for us. So thank you. Of course, we want to thank all the ladies who took the time to decorate a table. They are all beautiful, and we really appreciate your willingness to do that. So thank you. Also, for all the ladies who helped in organizing the event, getting everything together, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that goes on to make this happen every year. So thanks to all of you and to everyone who donated gifts. So. And we certainly do not want to leave Tom out in the back. Wave at us, Tom, for taking care of the sound for us. And at this time, we are going to get started with Miss Christie in just a moment. But our theme this year, as you can see on the screen, is Renewed in Christ. And that verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the key, of course, in that is in Christ. That's not something we can accomplish or do on our own. And just a few really quick on those, I was thinking, you know, the things that are going to pass away are your old thoughts, your old principles, your old practices. And when you are, quote, unquote, born again, you have new principles, new company, a new nature, and a new purpose. And I wrote down a quote that our pastor said one time that says, every heart without Christ is a mission field. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. And if there is anyone that I think of that is genuinely a missionary, it's Miss Christie. She is a blessing to everyone that meets her or comes in contact with her. She is always shining. She's always beautiful. She's always full of joy. And she speaks life to everyone that comes in contact with her. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. She has definitely impacted my whole family, so I'm thankful for her. And when I read her bio, I will tell you up front, she is extremely humble. This in no way covers the many, many things that she has done in her life, with her life, but this is what she wanted me to tell you, so it is. Christie Brown is an education specialist for the Georgia Professional Standards Commission. She currently attends First Baptist Woodstock and serves as a coach in Thrive, which is the special needs ministry there at First Baptist Woodstock. Her passion is to embolden young women to live their unique calling as they thoughtfully engage faith, relationships, and their community. And that is definitely true about her. She builds relationships with other women, and she sees this as an opportunity to create a space where everyone belongs and everyone is needed. Christie's favorite pastime is spending time with her friends and having a cup of coffee in her hand. So, at this time, I would love to welcome Christie Brown.
Everyone hear me? Okay, great. I don't know if my vest will get in the way of the microphone, so just let me know and I'll take it off, but it will ruin my outfit. I'm just kidding. What's real important? I'm really humbled to be here today. When I walked into the room, it was like I was coming home. This church really was healing to me. You know, I started tearing up when I saw Caroline and Hannah Payne. It means so much that they came to support me and Hannah all the way from UGA. We spent a lot of times in that room over there just really seeking the Lord, and I'm so humbled. And I want to just open this up in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Father, I thank you so much for this day, for this opportunity, and I just pray, Father, that you will just speak through me, that my mouth will just be a mouthpiece of your word, Father. I pray that we will be refreshed in you, Jesus, that we will be refreshed in our fellowship with each other, that we will edify you, Father God. I pray, Father God, just for your presence to be thick in this room, that we will know that we're personally loved, that we're known, that we're seen, and that you are a good Father, and that you always provide for us, Father God. I pray that specifically, if there's anyone hurting in here, Father, that you would just fill their holes in their heart with your love and compassion. And Father God, I just humbly ask you to speak. As we just share in fellowship with each other, that you would receive all the glory, that I would just stand behind the cross. And Father God, that it just wouldn't be about me and my testimony, but it would be about you and your glory. I pray that you get all of the praise in your precious son's name. Amen. Hannah and Caroline know this, but I move around a lot because I get really passionate. And so that's why I have this on. And I'm not used to being on a stage. I like to walk around, but I think I will try to be on the stage. and so I want to say this up front, that I know that so many people in this room, you have pain and that you're going through something. And when I share my story, I share it out of compassion. And we'll be talking about events in my life and how the Lord has really healed me and how he has used those painful moments. But I don't want you to think that that I'm not being sensitive and compassionate to your pain as well. I think that the two of the most powerful words could be me too. When someone can relate or identify to pain and be able to say, I can identify that and I can have compassion with you. And so I pray that the Lord will just speak and that he will, we all have wounds in our heart, that he will just tenderly minister to those wounds in our hearts, and mine included. And so I hope you know that, you know my heart. I love this verse, your theme verse. I actually took this Bible study at First Baptist Woodstock this semester, so it was great. And everything happens, everything in our lives happened for one reason, and it's for the glorification of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:5 says that we are made for one purpose, and that purpose is to glorify the Lord. And so every single thing, I always would tell the girls that in Psalms 23, it says only goodness and joy will follow us. And so those things that we desire, those longings that we have, that we maybe not have received, it's not because the Lord is up there taking things away or not wanting to give us those things, or not because we're not enough. It's because he's a God of protection, and that he understands that he loves us so much not to give us something that's not going to be good for us. And so that was really just important as I was thinking about this scripture and then just some of my testimony. And so I want to read it. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. And so today I hope really that my story can show you beauty for ashes, that he redeems all things for his glory. And that's what being new in Christ is. You know, I am a teacher, and I love to teach. And so in my new position, I don't really get to teach. I do teach a graduate course for Atlanta Public Schools, and so I've really enjoyed that. So I get to teach one night a week. But there's four ways to differentiate your instruction. And so you can differentiate your instruction as a teacher into a P-12 class as your content. So we have all different learners, and so sometimes we have to teach differently and have different content to help the learner succeed. Another way that you can differentiate is through the process. And through the process is that you would teach differently to every student. You could differentiate through the product, which is the assessment, the way that you test the child. And you can differentiate through the learning environment. And so I say that because God differentiates. The way that he has taught me in my personal lessons might not be the same way that he teaches you. And so, but the way that he has taught me is through my deep personal pain. First the pain and then the rising. I want to give you a little context about my life. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My parents are now believers, praise the Lord. But my childhood was really hard. My parents loved me. They loved me the best way that they knew how. My father got cancer when I was in third grade, and then it came back when I was in eighth grade. And so that really just changed my entire, like, family, because a lot of people don't think about the caregiver. And so when you're thinking about the caregiver, my mom had some, like, just, if I can be vulnerable, and I want to be vulnerable today. I'm going to be vulnerable with myself. That's how I feel like the Lord really speaks through us, so we know that we're not alone. But my mom had some mental breakdowns because of that, and that really was hard on our relationship. And really, my mom didn't know the Lord, and so she didn't know how to process everything, and she took almost everything out on me. So that caused deep wounds in my heart that I still struggle with, that I have to give to the Lord every single day. And I say that with most respect to my parents, because they love me the best way that they knew how. And so I want you to know that we didn't really go to church. We were CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. But the church that we went to was right across from the post office, and it was Sandy Plains Baptist Church. The pastor would send birthday cards every year to me. When I was 16 years old, I received the birthday card from Don Mason, and something in me was like, I just need to go to church. So I didn't have a car at that time, and so I asked my mom if she would take me to church, and she did. So every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, she would take me to church, and then she would pick me up. She never went with me, and that was fine. So I would, you know, go by myself. I got involved into the youth group, and I realized that they had something that I didn't have. There was something different about the people in the church than I didn't have that joy. I didn't have that. There was just something different. I was a sinner, lost. I didn't know what was different, but what I realized was different was my need for Jesus. And so I became a Christian when I was 16 years old at Sandy Plains Baptist Church. But I didn't grow into my faith until I went to college. Went to college at Stetson University in DeLand, Florida. Say I went to school in Paradise. And it was there where I met like-minded friends. I met like-minded friends, and the professor that I student taught with really took me in and kind of adopted me, and her family just really discipled me. I was in a really good church, and that's where I started to grow in my faith. But then we hit 2008, and I was still in Florida because I loved it. And this is really vulnerable and hard for me to share. But I feel like the Lord as I prayed to share this. And so in 2008, I started to live in sin. There's a difference between living in sin and sinning. And I was living in sin. Every day I would wake up, get up out of my bed, and then I look myself in the mirror and I would say, what are you doing? Like, get out. What are you doing? But I couldn't get out. It was like I was in bondage. And so I struggle with anxiety and a little bit of depression, and my anxiety just increased and increased and increased, and I couldn't get out, but I knew that I needed to. I was a teacher at that time. I was teacher of the year for my county, but I had to get out. And so that's how I actually moved to Rome, Georgia, and started working at Shorter College back into 2008. Because I couldn't get out of the sin myself, I had to remove myself completely. And that was really hard. And so Rome was not the easiest place for me to live as a single person. But when I found this church, you really have welcomed me and just really helped me heal. But before that time, in 2008, December, I went home to my parents' apartment for Christmas. And I was struggling with this deep anxiety just because of my sin life and just the guilt and the shame that I felt. And I just could, you know, I just couldn't renew my mind. And so it was December 23rd, and I found myself, I was alone in my parents' apartment, and I found myself in a corner. And I was just like crunched down in the corner and I was crying, but not just like, you know, crying. I was like sobbing the ugly, like, well, you can't catch your breath. It was really, you know, beautiful. And so I picked up the telephone and I called First Baptist Woodstock's counseling session. And I just knew that I needed help. And so I asked them, can you help me? And they had a 9-month waiting list. And so I was like, oh my word. And they asked me to tell them my story. So I would tell them my story about what happened. And you know, exactly, I just told them, you know, how I was living in sin. And then 30 minutes later, they called me back and they told me to come the next day. That was the sovereignty of the Lord. And that's truly where my healing started to take place. However, my healing, I still was a beggar with a cup, asking people to fill it with love. I was asking people for people approval. I needed their approval, and that's how I felt love. I was asking for my accomplishments to fill myself with love. I was asking just for my work to fill myself with love. I wasn't rooted in Christ. When we're rooted in Christ, then we're rooted in His love for us. And you don't struggle with that insecurity or that people-pleasing or are trying to seek anything except for Christ for love. And that's what I was doing. And then in 2011, you know, I thought I was, you know, like, I thought that I was healed, but it took breaking my leg to really find the love of Christ. In 2011, I was at St. Augustine. And I was doing the FCA. I was an FCA coach, and I was in charge of the college ministry with FCA in the South. So a bunch of FSU football players, they were there. They're like, hey, Christy, come and play basketball with us. And so I played basketball in college, and I was like, oh, okay, I will. And it was there that I broke my leg, playing pickup with a bunch of FSU football players. I didn't just break my leg. And most of you know this, but the bones came out of my leg. I tore every ligament in my knee. I shattered my shin all the way to my ankle. And so that was very challenging. And I was told that I was never going to be able to walk again. And a lot of different things. I really grieved a loss with that, because I love to work out, and I love to, I just love to be active. And so, again, the pain, I was like, and I would call, Lord, like, what are you doing? Like, you took away, like, my childhood, and then, you know, and there's suffering, and my sin life was my own consequences, but then now this, like, I can't take anymore. But it was through that time that I really found Jesus. I really found why we as believers have to have pain in our life. Because that pain, that deep pain, all the surgeries, all the physical therapy, it showed me how God provided. It helped me become more compassionate towards people. And I used to say, I'm still in pain every single second of every day. Delaney and I talk, and you know, I was like, I have good days and I have bad days. And but every day is painful. And so I would used to pray. I'm like, Lord, take away the pain. But he wouldn't. It's like that thorn in your flesh. And I think the reason why he doesn't take away the pain is because he wants us to be dependent on him. But also because he wants us to be compassionate towards others. Because pain is pain. Emotional pain, physical pain. Every single person in this world is hurting and they're broken. And so sometimes we need those reminders to reach out and to see people. And I really feel like that my pain was a gift. And so another thing that I learned, I read this story, y'all. I read this story about zebras. And I like to study, and I did not know this, that every zebra has a different stripe. Their stripe patterns are not the same. And so what the mother does once they have their zebra, I don't know what they call baby zebra, but I'm sure it's something. But once the baby is born, the mother takes the zebra away. And it just for weeks. And it allows the baby zebra to study the mother zebra's stripes. And they just study, and the baby zebra is just studying it. And they do that so because when they're with other zebras, the baby zebra will know who the mother zebra is. Okay, now time out. There's someone else that has stripes that only look a certain way. And we are healed by his stripes. And so I feel like sometimes God takes us through painful moments, like my leg or like my own consequences of my sin, because he wants us to get to know him personally and to study his stripes, because through his stripes we are healed. And so sometimes God takes you away to that, to those private painful moments, so that you may know him more. But we also know that Jeremiah 31:3, he says that I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I will continue to extend my faithful love to you. And so, and sometimes when we think we're going through these trials and these hard times, we're thinking that God doesn't love us, but he does, because he always has. And because that he extends, he continues to extend that faithful love. I really had to understand that. And through that process, through my process of my leg, I've realized that so many people are hurting. And I want them, and everyone is looking. Do I belong? Do you see me? Especially as females. And that pain has really helped me take my eyes off myself and put them on others so they can know that someone sees them, that you belong, because that's what Christ has called us to do. Even though he might have to strip us, he might have to go through those painful moments, but we have to remember that he always redeems our story for his glory. And I think that I was in this Kelly Minter Bible study. That's what your theme verse is. And she tells a story, and this is kind of a, you know, I've reflected on this even now in my position right now. I have all these dreams and I have all these desires and these longings, and they haven't been met. And so you have to choose, what are you going to do? Are you going to praise God even though those longings and those dreams and those desires haven't been met? Or are you just going to complain about it? But as believers, we know what to do. And I'm in this season right now, if I can just be vulnerable. She was telling a story about how she felt, this didn't really happen, but she had a dream that she was in a house and it was burning on fire. And she was trying to hold on and to take all the pictures or everything in the house, but it was on fire. And the firefighter was like, hey, no, I have something new for you. We've got to get out. And that's how I have felt my entire life. Really, of like, I'm just trying to hold on to these things that I think I need for approval, or I think I need for love. And the Lord is saying, no, I have something for you different. It's only for me to get that glory. And every experience that you have had in your life is for that reason. In Isaiah 43:5, I said that we have one purpose, and it's for his glory. And so sometimes we have to let go of things to move into a new place that God has for us. But that's hard sometimes. And I think that we have to realize that in Isaiah 43:1, this, we have to replace those lies with truth. Because in Isaiah 43:1, he says that I have redeemed you. So this mess of my life, he calls and he says, Christy, I have redeemed you. And you know what he says? He says, do not fear, I have redeemed you. You are, and he calls you four letters. And those four letters are so important. He calls you M-I-N-E. You are mine. And you have to rest in that promise of when you're going through that pain, where you're going through that dark space, where you're going through unmet longings and desires, you have to remember that you are his, that you are loved, that you are beloved. And I think that I want to read this, because I wrote this, and I'm going to butcher it if I don't, just read it. The enemy loves to take our rejection and twist it into raw, irrational fear that God really doesn't have a good plan for us. That's my whole life. That's what I feel. But this fear is a corrupting companion. It replaces the truth we've trusted with hopeless lies. Satan knows what consumes us, controls us. Therefore, the more consumed we are with rejection, the more he can control our emotions, our thinking, and our actions. And I just started thinking of that, that we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice through our pain. And I wrote, what is a brokenhearted person to do? We must praise God, seek God, look to God, call to God, experience God, fear God, learn from God, honor God, draw near to God, and take refuge in God. In James, it talks about if we draw near to him, that he will draw near to us. But in Isaiah, one of my favorite verses, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And so if you're going through a painful moment, or if you're in a season where you don't understand why certain things are happening, maybe it's not painful, but maybe it's just, you have these unmet desires and these longings. What we have to do as believers is, yes, we have to replace lies with truth, but we have to continue to keep our eyes on Jesus, because when we keep our eyes on Jesus, then he's going to give us peace that surpasses all understanding, because he is Jehovah. And he gives you that strength. Just like Cherise says, we are made new, but it's not because we do anything. It's because of Christ in us, making us new. He has to overcome my flesh every single day. We can never be more like Jesus. We have to ask him to overcome our flesh and overcome my thinking, taking my thoughts captive. It's difficult for me. I wish I could stand up here and say it's easier for me to renew my mind, but it's not. It's challenging. But what I have had to do is make an intentional effort every single morning to praise God, to trust him, because I know that he is a good father. I know three things: that God is good, that God is good at being God, and God is good to me. And I have to continue to say those three things every single morning. I've got to know that. The only goodness will follow me the rest of the days of my life. That's what the scripture says. So those unmet longings and those desires and that pain that I've experienced is not because God is withholding anything from me. It's out of his protection and his grace and his love. And we have to remember that God is good. God is good at being God, and God is good to me. And so we're not, this is, Lisa Turco said this, and it really impacted me. She told a story about loneliness, and I struggle with that too. I struggle with my thinking, my anxiety, the loneliness. That's where Satan attacks me the most, and where I need to replace my lies and understand his goodness for me. But she says that we are not set aside. So if you feel like you're set aside, you're not. You're set apart. Because if I didn't have the experience that I've had, I wouldn't be able to look you in the eye and say, me too. Because when we can look someone in the eye and say, me too, that frees them. Because someone can identify with the pain that they're going through. So it's really, we need to flip our thinking and say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to go through this unmet desire, this longing, or this painful season, because I can minister towards others. And what we know is that everything that happens is for his glory. I don't want one person that I meet not to be in heaven with me. And so if my painful events and my stories, that I can say me too, and that helps them identify with the Lord, then so be it. Because we all have those stories. And I just want to close. And we are put into difficult situations to display Jesus. You are enduring for Christ. People will see you live as more than a conqueror. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord and look up. And so I hope you know that I share my struggles with you, not so you can feel sorry for me, but for you to see how Jesus has really healed me in this. Because I want to be rooted in the Lord. I want to be rooted in the Lord, and I want the Lord to shine through me. Because I don't ever want to live in that corner again. Destruction can be mercy. I never want that experience anymore. I don't want that anxiety. I don't want that feeling. I know what it feels like to not be in the will of the Lord, and I don't want it anymore. I don't want to forget the corner either, because that corner helps me understand to keep my eyes on the Lord, and that He will use that time in my life, and He will bring beauty from those ashes, and He will do that in your life too. But we have to keep our eyes on Christ. So I hope that you feel that I was not here just wallowing in my pain, but that you understand that the Lord, He can use anything. And this is a time to be thankful. This time as Thanksgiving. And I just challenge you, Ann Boskamp's 1,000 Gifts study changed my entire life. To be grateful. She says that you can only have one emotion at one time. So I do struggle with anxiety. And so when I'm anxious, I completely turn that to what am I thankful for? And I hope you know that I'm very thankful to be able to share in a safe space. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for that room of where I got to spend time in the youth group teaching those high school girls. And that this church and this city will always be precious to my heart, because it's where I found myself in the Lord, truly became healed. So I want to thank you also for loving me the way that you did love me and that you continue to love me. Because without you and your support, I don't think that I would be where I am in my walk with the Lord. And so I hope that you are encouraged in Him as well. And let's just pray, and I'll have Cherie come up. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for a space that we can be vulnerable and that we can share and we can say me too. I pray, Father God, that we won't lose hope in who you are, that you are our protector. You are Jehovah. And Father God, you can take our ashes and bring beauty for glory and for your glory. I pray, Father, that if anyone is hurting, that you would just minister to them, Father, and that they will understand that their pain that they're going through is ultimately, maybe we don't understand it, but it's ultimately for your glory as well. You are so good, God. You are good at being God, and you are good to me. I pray, Father God, that we will live that way, that we will be rooted in your word, and that, Father, that we will be light shining for you. I pray this in your precious son's name. Amen.
I told you she was a blessing. And I just, when I think of Miss Christie, I always think she is more than a conqueror through our risen Lord. She is truly a blessing to everyone that has the privilege to know her. And I'm thankful that God placed her in my life. So once again, let's just thank her for sharing her heart.